Care Talk with Laura Packard is a podcast covering healthcare in America from a progressive perspective. Our healthcare system is broken, and we all know insurance companies are out of control. If you don't have health insurance or don't understand the differences between insurance plans or have surprise medical bills, out-of-control prescription drug costs, or can't get the care you need, listen to Care Talk with Laura Packard weekly on Tuesdays. What's going to happen to your healthcare under the Trump administration? From prescription drug prices to health insurance costs, from healthcare for seniors and people with disabilities to reproductive care, from care for veterans to public health, including vaccinations. Healthcare experts answer your questions every week, and they go in-depth on Medicare, Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act, private insurance, and more. Go to healthcarevoices.org/caretalk or search for Care Talk with Laura Packard on your favorite podcast app to listen today.
MSW Media.
Hi, I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
We are Frangela, and welcome to The Final Word!
The Final Word with Frangela!
The Final Word.
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 Thank you for joining us here in the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network and at MSW Media.
Because you know where to get that hard-hitting, insightful news and comedy.
That's
you
right.
Know where to come.
You know where
you
to come.
Know where
you
to come.
Are educated and brilliant.
Yes.
And because you're educated and brilliant, many of you have become our Patreon friends. And we cannot thank you enough, because that is the thing that allows us to do everything.
Everything. And you know what? Speaking of everything and all your help, you especially, you know, from listening and supporting and helping us out with Patreon, we have been able to now, you know, COVID really hit us really hard. And so now we're able to envision and now come up with some other projects that we're so excited to get onto the books and out there to you. I can't wait. And I'm telling you, we're just absolutely percolating. So you'll be hearing more about that coming up soon. Okay. But you know what you can, you know how you can speak to us, or we can speak to you immediately?
How, Frances?
If you go to cameo.com.
Oh my goodness, can I get a special video message made by you too?
Yes, 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 yes. Let me tell you, we just gave somebody a pick me up. Oh, it felt
fun.
So good. It was fun.
It picked us up.
Picked us up.
Go to Cameo. We get a video to you. You can give it as a gift to somebody or give it to yourself. It could be anything. Birthday greeting, happy anniversary, welcome to the team, whatever.
Whatever. Go to cameo.com, put in Frangela, and guess what? We are on the Save the Sexy Liberal Saves the World Tour. Go to Sexy Liberal.
Yeah, go to sexyliberal.com. Don't go anywhere else. Don't Google Sexy Liberal Tour, because there's scammy sites up, apparently, I heard.
Really?
The little ticket scamming that they do, you know? Only go to sexyliberal.com right now. I think you can't buy the tickets on Live Nation but don't listen to me. Just go to sexyliberal.com and use the link there to get your tickets. There's all sorts of shows all over the country. Boston, oh my God, Atlanta, places we've never been.
We're going to Oklahoma, aren't we?
I think so.
Kansas City.
I have it right here. We have Minneapolis, Philly, Madison, Albuquerque, Seattle, Denver, Boston, Atlanta, New York City, Chicago show you already know about, Portland, North Carolina, Arizona, Kansas, LA, and DC in time for next year's inauguration of Biden again. So
yes.
Go there, sexyliberal.com, get your tickets now. The VIP stuff is a different ticket. So you those will be two different ticket things, just to let you know. And there's lots of cool things planned. You've got to go get those tickets. It means a lot. We're being produced by Live Nation, which is
so exciting.
It's very professional. I don't know how
we're going to act.
It's a lot. But please check that out. And remember that every Friday, in the last hour on the Stephanie Miller Show. You can get the blackest hour in all media, frankly. It's not just radio.
You know, you're absolutely right. And Angela, speaking of blackness, did you know that an armed intruder was arrested at Joint Base Andrews shortly after Vice President Kamala Harris and several members of President Biden's cabinet arrived at Joint Base Andrews in Maryland on Sunday night? We're recording this on Thursday. You're hearing it on Friday.
Unfortunately, before the State of the Union, which we're very upset about.
Oh, God. Oh, God. We'll talk about that in a second. This happened Sunday night. A vehicle drove through a security checkpoint at the base, according to Joint Base Andrews and NPR Scott Detrow, who was traveling with Harris. When guards deployed barriers, two individuals got out and one of them, armed with a weapon, was arrested. The other escaped. This is a quote. The incident appeared to be one of the most serious breaches of security in memory at Andrews, which is a few miles outside of Washington.
How'd this person escape?
Have you heard about it?
No. No, I've not. I mean, yet through this, but not in the general widespread media. No.
I've heard all about Fani Willis.
Mm-hmm. Biden's, do you know that Biden's old? Because I just found that out.
Did you find that out this week?
I just found that out. He's been hiding it, girl. He's older than you and me.
This, you know, and I can also understand and hear that the White House doesn't want people to hear that there are people making attempts on the vice president's life, coming out of armed out of cars, trying to get behind.
Well, this is what I don't understand, because I'm telling you, you know, the Secret Service is BS. It is straight up BS. I cannot. How is that not a horrific failure on their part? And yes, at an Air Force base, like, what the hell is going on?
This is what I'm saying. She ain't at an Air Force base every day. That's at the Air Force base that they trying to come up in there with firepower to the Army. You understand what I'm saying?
It's ridiculous.
They ain't got no fucking respect for the job. They ain't got no job for the position, for her, or the military.
I just don't understand how that happens.
To me, that's a suicide. That's terrorism and suicide. That's a suicide bomber, as far as I'm concerned.
But one of them got away, which I find incredibly confusing. How you gonna get, like, they got a, how they get away? Like, I need to know that person's been apprehended.
I know. Harris and the cabinet members were returning after visiting Selma, Alabama, to commemorate the anniversary of Bloody Sunday, when police attacked peaceful civil rights protesters in 1965. I'm just going to put that right there. I'm just going to lay that down right there.
I think it's a mistake to not make this a bigger deal and to not tell people, because the reality is that the reason that these people feel like they can get away with this and that they got a shot is because they can. It's because and if there's anything that galvanizes people, it's recognizing what the threat is, you know? And I just, right now this is the thing, Frances, I just gotta say, while I have nothing but hope and belief, and more than that, I believe that the information is there, the facts back up, believing that we are going to do the right thing as a majority of this nation. I also have extreme fears about how that doesn't matter, given what these people are willing to do and doing.
Thank you.
To try to take apart our country.
Thank you.
But I gotta say that every time I think this can't get worse, it can't feel worse, it can't feel more dangerous, it does. And it's like a horror film. Like, this entire country and our political landscape and our social and cultural landscape has become like a never-ending horror film, where I actually had this thought, and I'm gonna share it with you. I was thinking about what else could these people do with this in vitro, trying to get rid of in vitro, trying to get rid of birth control. And I was like, you know, well, what about the eggs that are already, you know, gathered, the people's eggs that they have banked at these IVF clinics, et cetera. And I was like, you know what? Because sometimes we play this game. What's the most evil thing you can think of? And I was like, force prisoners to give birth to all of those.
Wow, that's a great movie. Let's write it today.
Like, it's a great movie, or the Republican Party's platform for 2024. Like, I'm like that's the only, I was like, oh, you could take women, you could say anybody who's in prison for life has to become a carrier of one of these embryos. And they don't get to decide what embryo or whatever. They don't get to decide. And because of this sort, they're all babies. There's no, you know, not using ones that aren't viable.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They all get used.
Yep.
Because I was like, but that is, but the thing is, I said it to myself as like an example of horror. But then I was like, I don't think that would not surprise me to hear from them. I would not be like gobsmacked if tonight they were, you know, Alex Wagner goes, well, the Republicans have come up with a new plan in Alabama for what to do with the embryos. And like, I think I go like, oh my God, that's crazy. But that's as much of the shock as you'd get from me.
Here's the thing. If you can think of it, they've thought of it.
That's my thing. I was like, there's like, and tell me that isn't the most.
What I would like to invite everybody to understand and come to an understanding, and not necessarily a panic, but an understanding of who we are dealing with. And I don't want to call it a fight.
It is.
Because it's worse, but it's worse than that. It's a war. And so let's start here about what's happening. Voting on Super Tuesday went as expected. Biden and Trump. Trump, who is facing 91 criminal charges, are all but certain to be headed for a rematch in 2024. And when I tell you, every single network outlet has let you know that people's dissatisfaction about this matchup. They don't want any of them. They don't want me, another one of them. They're too old. That's the every single newscaster has said it in the last 3-4 weeks. Nobody wants this. But you know what? I don't give a fuck if you don't want it. That's what the fuck is in the refrigerator.
That's what we got for dinner.
But that's what's clear.
Biden's what we got for dinner. But let me be clear about something. As they're saying that, what is the Biden administration doing? All sorts of things that are good for you. They're trying to get the bank fees lowered. They're trying to do, like, they are continuing amazing things.
Yes.
I go on, you know what? You're too old to make sure that Amazon isn't taking advantage of me. No, you're worried about his age. They're.
Yep. No. Meanwhile, Nikki Haley has suspended her presidential campaign, but stopped short of endorsing Trump.
Can we talk about what suspending means? like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, you can't win, you're never going to win. And the idea that you could win because he might be in jail, you don't know who you're dealing with. We do. What I can tell you is, if he's in jail, he's still their nominee. If he's in jail, they're still going to say vote for him.
Yeah.
Jail is not, they're going to, they don't care about any of the things that people seem to think they might care about.
Here's the thing that I did like about Nikki Haley being in the race, is that it showed that at least 1/3 of all people who claim that they are Republicans do not want to vote for Donald Trump. And that means that at every poll, hopefully, we will get 15 to 20% of that vote, or that vote will stay home and not go into the pile for Donald Trump.
I just want to point out that when Bernie and everyone else dropped out of the, when Bernie dropped out in particular for the race with Hillary, that we as a party really did ask that he support her.
Yes.
And I look at Nikki Haley and DeSantis, who were the last people standing. And they're going to support Trump, whether or not Nikki's doing it today. By not doing it, she is. Yes. By not saying, I support whatever, and that she did a lot of damage, whatever damage she could try to do, she did. She went around this country and told people that Joe Biden was more dangerous than Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
She is our enemy. She is not our friend. She is not an alternative.
No, she's not.
She's none of those things. And so I look at the people who were voting for her knowing that she couldn't win. And what I see is closer to what you're saying than what other people seem to think is possible, which is that they will go vote for Biden. I think that at best, they might not vote at all, which is fine.
That's right. That's what I think, too.
But these are not people who are going to go vote. These are people who really are okay with the agenda, but aren't okay with the person backing it. And that's a problem.
That's right.
That agenda is a fascist, racist, sexist, horribly, anti-people over, profit agenda.
This is my thing. I would rather, if we are on the battlefield and I am looking at the skirmish, I want it to break up any kind of fucking way it can. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck if I don't care how it happens. Mm-hmm. Break this shit off, right?
I think, I feel that way in general, but this is my problem. I think that when I look at that, I think that doing things that way is part of the reason why we're here, is that by saying to ourselves, look, we just need to get this through and we're not going to deal with the anti-vaxxing issue. We're not going to deal we're just going to get these people where we can get them. But then that stuff doesn't, it's like the Civil War, right? Like,
it doesn't go away.
What the founding owners did, is they the compromise of slavery for the Constitution was, we won't mention it.
Yeah, exactly.
They knew it was an issue. They talk all about it, right? They knew it didn't make sense to have a document that made people free when they weren't and equal when they weren't. But they said, we can't deal with this. We're just going to not mention it.
We're going to kick the can down the road.
Right. And what happened is a civil war, because these issues don't actually go away.
I'm reading a great book right now that's called The Body Keeps the Score. And it's the wonderful concept, I'm sure it's an old book. The wonderful concept about the book is this, and I believe that we as a country are a body, is that no matter how, again, time is not distance, distance is not time. It does not matter how much time or distance we put between the actual pain and wound and what you think should be healing. It has not. It's just still as open and bloody as it was in 1865, as open and bloody as it was in 1776.
Exactly.
As open and bloody as when they fucking landed here on Plymouth fucking Rock.
That's what I'm saying. So I think that from my point of view, I understand why Biden campaign would say, look, Nikki Haley voters, there's a place for you in our coalition. I get that. I do believe in appealing to people. However, we cannot allow, this has been our issue with the Democratic Party, forever, is that the virtue of being a big tent only works if you protect everybody under it.
Yep.
If you're not going to do that in order to get these people, if you're going to give up things that are important or not fight for them, well, we can't, don't be a single issue voter, women. You can't just worry about choice. Yeah, we can. We can worry about all of it. But so that's my problem, is that we have very binary thinking in this culture and in this country, and people tend to trade things. And the people who always get traded out are us. We always get traded.
Yep. Women and the brown folks. I know.
So that is my only thing with appealing to them, is to not appeal to them in a way that we need to not show up for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this is the other thing,
but
too.
But suspending your campaign. You mean you gonna stop losing for a minute? I'm gonna not lose for a little while. and I'm gonna come back and lose for real. Maybe I'm gonna reserve the right to lose, really lose in the future.
Totally. And for me, it's about the fact that the money is gone. There is no more money.
Yeah.
Money. And you know what? And that is the other thing that I find really interesting is that there was no one. DeSantis didn't even make it like 3 months.
Look, go-go boots.
Go-go boots.
Go-go boots. These boots were made for walking. He had to go his own way. Go-go boots had to go.
He had to go his own way.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. And I just can't go your own way.
Okay, Mitch McConnell, before we go to the break. Mitch McConnell endorsed Trump. In case you haven't heard, Mitch McConnell will not be running again. Mitch McConnell.
Well, he's not going to be the head of the Republican. He's stepping down as head of the Republican caucus in the Senate of the party. But
Here's my thing. You endorsed the man who, talk shit about your wife and you.
Yep. Who has caused you to lose these elections.
Absolutely.
Yep. Because Mitch McConnell is an asshole. He will not be missed.
No, he will not be missed. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to dance a holy, holy dance the day he dies.
Thank you. It's going to go on my calendar. You know, every year we celebrate Scalia dying.
Yes.
In my
family. Yes, we do.
And we're going to celebrate Mitch McConnell. And I don't care what people think.
Oh, speaking of leaving, Arizona Senator Kristen Sinema will not be missed.
Oh, that one. Ooh, there are people I have nothing but disdain for, and she's one of them.
Yeah, I know. Because you know why? Because we are good people, and we're not used to liars.
Dude, and it's like, if you're a biscuit maker, be a biscuit maker. Like, just tell us you're a biscuit maker. Tim Scott.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, Tim Scott never tries to act like he's not a biscuit maker. You don't see him getting up in front of audiences of Black people and talking about Black power and enfranchisement or any of that. Because he's a biscuit maker. But Chris Sinema rode in like she was not a biscuit maker and then is a total biscuit maker. I'm like, you know what? You can go all the way to hell.
Yep, all the way. And I'm very excited about the person who is coming up, you know, for that seat and from on the Democratic side, which is Representative Ruben Gallego.
Yeah.
And then he is running against Republican Kerry. I'm crazy as a fucking lake. Okay.
What does it take? Okay. On just a philosophical level, it relates to the Nikki Haley campaign suspension. Is this the result of giving everybody a trophy? Because they seem to think that losing is just an indicator of future winning. They don't really seem to understand, and that losing is something that you can question.
Okay.
I'm like, this worldview, maybe this would have been helpful to me as a young person. Maybe believing that no matter how badly I did, I was winning. Maybe that's good for you.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't want anybody to hear this. And this is just between us. Okay. This is just between us. I kind of dig it. Okay.
It's very Kellyer Hulinski to try to walk off be like, everybody come here, gather around. I have been losing every contest. It doesn't matter who you put me up against. You can put me up against no one. And people say, I would rather vote for no one than me. And because of that, I'm going to keep running. And I'm gonna take a break and suspend my losing. But don't get it twisted. I'm gonna come back and lose some more. I'm gonna come back and lose. When you don't have any other choice, I'm gonna make you not choose me again.
Yes.
I look at this and I'm like, Kerry Lake, this is my problem. How are you running for office when according to you, you're in office?
Yes. Right, that you already won and you are governor. But you know what? But Angela, what you don't understand is about holding realities in different dimensions. I tried to talk to you about this before the podcast.
I don't want to hear. There are very few statements that convince me that you're either crazy or buying a ticket to crazy.
Then
when you start talking to me about dimensions. People who start talking to me about dimensions, I feel that way about Zodiac. When people go, well, you know, because I'm a Virgo, that's close, but it's not even in the neighborhood of actual crazy.
Okay.
It's just a quirkiness. But
okay.
Dimensions?
I don't mind. Listen, Linda. I don't mind when people start talking about dimensions because dimensions are real. First one dimension is real. Two dimensions is real. Three dimensions.
Numbers are real. What?
Right. And so for me, what people, I think, you know, who would like to expand, I think what they believe is their consciousness. They want to, you know, reach out to that. That's all, you know, a lot of spiritual whole thing.
Is that what you think Nikki Haley is doing? Expanding her consciousness?
She is expanding her womb beyond the eighth dimension. I don't know. I'm just making it up.
No, what they are sad, sorry losers and crappier winners.
Say it again. For those in the back.
Sorry losers and crappier winners. Like they're horrible at it. But the idea that you should invest in a campaign that has, did she win Vermont? Which, God bless it. I know it's a beautiful place. God bless our producer. Cause I know it's lovely, it can be lovely, but
it's gorgeous.
But is it, many delegates they have specifically?
I think 17.
So winning Vermont isn't, like what I'm saying is you wouldn't put that on your fundraising flyer even necessarily.
Why can't I put it on my resume? Why can't I be proud about it?
You can put it there. If you're doing something in Vermont, it will be helpful. But if you're doing something outside of Vermont, particularly in all the other 49 states, it may not sell as well. It's just, I'm just saying, I think the reality here is what you see happening all over the place is Republicans who could be responsible, Republicans who have some ability to perhaps affect what happens in their party, absolutely and unequivocally once again say that we are the party of Donald Trump.
Yep.
And that they take no responsibility for fixing a situation that they know is messed up and wrong, because at the end of the day, they do agree with his platform. And his platform is whatever the hell he wants, as long as it's cruel, it's about racism and sexism and control and profit for him. That they believe in those things.
And Angela, to your point, the number of Americans who think Trump committed serious federal crimes has declined since December after steadily rising since the fall of 2002. Also, here's the big question before we take our break. Do you think Americans have a collective amnesia about Trump? Think about it. Don't answer it yet. Think about it, and we'll be right back after these messages. Angela, I have been watching these incredible videos on the internet about Japan, and they are so inspiring. I have decided that I am going to put traveling to Japan and learning Japanese on my bucket list. And you know what's going to help me?
Is it Rosetta Stone?
Yeah,
I know
absolutely.
I know it is, because Rosetta Stone is the leading language learning program available on desktop and mobile. It's designed to fully immerse you in your chosen language for a more natural and effective learning experience.
Learn faster, retain longer. No English translation, so you truly learn to speak, listen, and think in your chosen language. It's an intuitive learning process. Start with words, build to phrases, and progress to full sentences.
also designed for long-term retention, so what you learn sticks with you.
That's right, and you can perfect your pronunciation. The built-in True Accent speech recognition technology provides a real-time feedback, helping you sound more natural. It's really like having a personal language coach guiding your accent every step of the way.
Yes, and most importantly, I think, it's an incredible value. Learn for Life, a lifetime membership, gives you access to all 25 languages so you can learn as many as you want, whenever you want.
So don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners of this podcast, The Final Word and Idiot of the Week, can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today and get started and claim your 50% off today.
Don't miss out. Go to rosettastone.com/today and start learning today.
Welcome back. So, Angela, do you think that Americans have collective amnesia about Trump?
Yes, but also I think that it's sort of a artificially induced amnesia, because what we see the media doing is having amnesia. I think what's being communicated to people through the media is that the important issues of this election are Biden's age,
mm-hmm,
and that nobody else is a viable candidate for the Republicans. Right. Like that they're not addressing, I've heard more about Fannie Lewis in the last 2 weeks than I have about Donald Trump when his 91 felony indictments. The yep. idea that we are hearing about anybody else's malfeasance when every day somewhere in this country people are talking about Trump in a court of law, it is absolutely insane. So I think that calling it's not just amnesia, it's being taken out of their consciousness. And then when they do hear about it, what they're hearing are things like, it looks like the Supreme Court doesn't think he's guilty of anything. And it's the same thing that happens in any situation. If you say somebody is wanted, but when the police say that they want somebody, people assume some level of guilt. I've heard everybody I know almost at some point say, well, they wouldn't have arrested this person if they hadn't done something wrong. We have not right. seen Donald Trump arrested. We know that he went in to court, but we didn't see him arrested. We have not seen him treated like somebody who's committed crimes, and certainly not 91 felony level, you know, indictments, because any other human being would be in custody someplace for this. Yep. So after 2-3 years, almost 4 years of this, you know, what does that say to people? That maybe he's innocent. Maybe he didn't commit any crimes, because he's not being charged. He's not in jail. He's not showing, he's not even paying. And for things that he's been told he has to pay for yet.
Well, and here's the other thing for me is that, you know, you hear people now talking about, they'll refer to the Russia hoax, yes. right? So I think that is what Republicans have actually been complaining about, but against the law. They have been saying, the more that you persecute and prosecute this person, the more martyr that he becomes.
And I don't think that's true. I actually don't think that's true. I think that their supporters are gone. And people are finally doing this and hearing me. I heard Claire McCaskill say it earlier this week on Nicole Wallace. She said, look, we need to let them go. Like, stop worrying about them. But yeah, those people, yes, to him. But this idea that we are concerned about people's reaction to a criminal being charged needs to stop.
It really does. Well, you know what? It is, you know, I don't know what it would be like to grow up with a daddy that beat you, because I didn't have one. Mm-hmm. I had a loving father. But it is as if these are people, I am watching a trauma situation yes. where people who grew up being beaten think that's what, you know, power.
Let me tell you.
And somebody being over me looks like.
It is the legacy of racism, of systemic racism. Understand that what we're witnessing, and I will continue to say this, is that how people have tied their identity, their mm-hmm. ideas about themselves to mm-hmm. this man. And they have done it because they have watched him say the dark things, say the things that they have wanted to say, do the things they have wanted to do, but were afraid to do them because they didn't want to pay the price, right? They didn't want, they want to call Mexicans rapists. They want to do all that, but they don't want to lose their job. They don't want to have people ostracize them, but he's doing it. And so suddenly they can do it. And so they have tied their identity. I don't have to feel bad. I don't have to feel like people are judging me and judging me to be a bad person. I'm telling you, I will never get it out of my head. The woman saying, when we were talking about the children being separated from their families at the border under the Trump administration, and them interviewing, the reporters were interviewing people in this diner, and this older white woman says, "Don't try to make me feel bad about these kids." That's what she said. Because she was for this. And she's like, I don't want to hear about the kids. I don't want to hear about how it's going, because you're not going to make me feel bad about doing something that I know is wrong and immoral and against my so-called beliefs, because I am racist, because I want a white ethno state, because the only chance I have of feeling like a viable member of this society who matters is through the generic false category of my race, because I am not extraordinary, because I do not have money and access to power, because I do not have more education, because I don't have the tools to make me what I would consider, and I don't mean I mean them, would consider a more successful and important, in quote, person in this world, because I don't feel like I matter in this world. The closest I can get is to feel like I matter more than brown people. That is it.
Now, I know. And I completely agree.
I know, but I think that people don't get that about this, that this is not about any other, that is where they have tied the issues of our identity. And I would challenge us all to really think about how we look at identity, even as woke people, because I do it, I hear people do it all the time. When we talk about history, ask yourself, do you say things like, well, we did this? You weren't there, you didn't do anything, but who are you aligning with when you say that?
Yep.
You know, and I think that is, I talk about slavery as if I was a slave. I say we were treated. I align myself with that history and that experience. And that is partly because I don't have a choice about that. You know, that gets done to me.
Your skin aligns you.
That's what
you.
I'm saying. But I think when I hear friends and family and people I love and care about do it with whiteness.
Yes.
Understand that the way that we view ourselves has been so locked into us that no matter how wonderful and full of woke dreams and really active pursuits of equity and of freedom for all, that fundamental problem that we see race, which is a false construct, is being somehow real and relevant, that is so deep in our sinew in this country and probably the world, but in this country for sure, that it's not a simple thing.
No. It's systemic. Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
It's absolutely. It's a systemic POV. But the reality is that I can't. The other reality is that fundamentally, you cannot operate as a brown person without understanding that POV. You don't get to. I don't get to go out in the world and interact with the police the way I see white people doing it, or else I will end up dead.
Exactly. But this is my point, that you can't get some, you can't talk somebody out of identifying with themselves, their identity, with proposals about credit card fees. Like, you can't do it. You know? So it's, I look at this and I go, this is what you have to see, is that these people, that if you ain't better than a N-word, what are you better than? That is the guiding philosophy here. And that's
Absolutely.
How everything else makes sense. It doesn't make sense if you look at it in terms of logic, right? How could they be for this, but against this?
Which makes me want to slap everybody who bought a copy of Hillbilly Elegy with that copy.
I know.
Because I felt like that's all they shoved down our throats was economic, you know, injustice. And which didn't allow it, because we tried to call it out then.
Mm-hmm.
But then with Black Lives Matter and all of that, but we had to hear about Hillbilly Elegy so much to the point that we elected that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Who then turned around and spat on America.
That's right.
With all that wealth.
Who supports an anti-poverty agenda? Like, this is, it's absolutely, but if you look at it in terms of the connection point is race, the false construct of race, it makes sense.
The Supreme Court temporarily blocked a new Texas immigration law, which allow state police to arrest, jail, and prosecute migrants suspected. This is what I like. Don't really, that's sarcasm, of illegally crossing the border. Justice Samuel Alito issued the administrative hold, which would block the law from taking effect until March 13th, after civil rights groups and the Department of Justice sued, arguing the law is unconstitutional. And this is the most important part. Could? No, it will lead to racial profiling.
It requires racial profiling.
Like, yes.
When you're going to pick out people, what you're saying is, oh, that, you know what? That blonde-haired, blue-eyed person has the look of someone who crossed the border illegally. No.
No.
That's not what's going to happen.
Not never.
That's not what they do now.
What is it about white people that they want to live in a police state? What is it?
Because they have a different relationship.
What is the attraction?
They have a different relationship to the police. And so they misunderstand the people who feel this way, not all, obviously. But the people who feel this way, what they don't understand is that a police, if you actually give the police this power, they will use it against everyone.
Everyone!
You know, that. But what they think is that it will only be against these other people who they want to be against because they don't like them, trust them, they're scared of them, whatever. But that's why, because they have a different relationship to the police force than, frankly, almost anybody who's poor, but generally always Black people of any class.
Yeah. The Justice Department also said the law would profoundly alter the status quo that has existed between the United States and the states in the context of immigration for almost 150 years.
Exactly. Which means the states cannot make immigration policy. Immigration policy is federal, okay? They don't get to decide who becomes into the country.
And here's the other thing. No one in Congress will bite this, take a bite of this plate. And I don't know why, because we want to sit here.
I agree with that. The Democrats keep putting things up. The Republicans don't.
The Democrats, but we can't, not no one in Congress. We can't get it done in Congress.
No, because it's the thing. We've gotten bills, co-sponsored bills, bills that come forward that everybody agreed on and was ready to vote on, but then Donald Trump makes a call, Mike Johnson won't put it to the vote. So the Republicans inside the House say, well, we're not going to vote for this. This thing that we negotiated, that we got everything we wanted on. There is no problem. The only problem is the Republicans.
Yep.
This would be done.
And this is my other thing. Why has it taken this long to talk to white America, to have a conversation with, because I'm going to tell you, we as Democrats treat Republicans as if they are this overwhelming group of people that we are frightened of politically, socially, culturally, in terms of their ideology, in terms of their faith in their God. And how they want to practice their things. We continue to be afraid of this group. And I want to understand the power that they hold psychologically over us. Because we can't seem to vote them out.
Well, and I think that because there are a lot of reasons for that. Number one, the Republicans have jerry-rigged this country. They're placed, you know, so that there have been places, some places are finally starting to address some of it, where Republicans could get less votes but have more seats. There are things that are systemic issues that we really need to look at, like the fact that the number of people in Congress, we need more representatives, that number was supposed to always change and grow with the growing population, that because of that, a minority of people are still controlling our government. Because if we had a Congress, particularly a House of Representatives, that reflected the actual population of this country, there would be hundreds more. You know, each representative is supposed to only represent enough people so that you're supposed to be able to go have a meeting with them.
Which, that's not enough here in California.
No, some it's not enough in most places, because it's millions of people will be represented by a representative. And that is not at all what the system was intended to do. That's the people's house, right? That's why it has that. This number is a false number. It's a false construct. It was good for, it's been raised in the past. So that's number one. We're not set up to govern appropriately. So we're already allowing a minority of people to have an outsized effect on policy and things that happen in this country.
And finally, the Biden administration will cap all credit card late fees at $8, which regulators say will save Americans up to $10 billion a year. Hallelujah.
Yes, that's something your old ass president is doing right now.
And that is our final word. I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
We are Frangelo. Thank you so much for listening to The Final Word.
I'm Brian Karam, and I've spent decades covering politics. Now I'm taking you behind the scenes, one interview at a time.
Join us as each week Brian confronts the issues that matter, posing the questions you wish you could ask. No filter, no agenda, just the truth.
We're not here for sound bites. We're here for substance. Join me, Brian Karam, every week as we cut through the noise and get straight to it. This is Just Ask the Question, where curiosity will lead us to the facts.
Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform. And remember, when you want answers, all you have to do is just ask the question.
We'll be right back.